My motivation is connected with a problem which is known as the Gregory-Laplace instability. Suppose we have space-time with some additional number of extra dimensions. In this case, we can have two type solutions for given mass. One is a high-dimensional black hole, and another is known as a black string solution. In the latter case, you have four-dimensional space and a number of dimensions which are compactified. It's possible to make it focused somehow. Yeah. Okay. And one may ask, suppose we have a system of given mass m, what is the solution is preferable in this situation? So by the way, this kind of models with the flat extra dimensions are known as the ADD models. They were considered by Arkany, Hamed, Dimopoulos, and Dvalli. In order to understand what may happen, we may consider the area of these two objects, which is connected with the entropy. So in the first case, entropy is proportional to the gravitational radius in the power k plus 2. K is the number of extra dimensions. So gravitational radius in the high-dimensional problem is connected with the mass, and here is a high-dimensional gravitational coupling constant. In number of dimensions 4 with no extra dimension, there is a standard Newtonian coupling constant. And relation between coupling constants in this case is the following. It can be obtained by considering asymptotic behavior at far distances of gravitational field. L is the radius of quantification in the extra dimension. So writing this area for the black hole and for the black string and comparing them, you arrive to a very simple conclusion that entropy of the black hole is larger than the entropy of black string, provided in the case when the gravitational radius is smaller than the size of extra dimensions. So its estimation shows you that if you have mass larger than this one, you can expect black string situation. In the case of smaller mass, you can expect a black hole kind of situation. So in the models, IDD models with two extra dimensions corresponding gravitational radius for 1 millimeter extra dimension size, it's 10 to the 27 gram. It's one order of magnitude smaller than the mass of the Earth. Now the question is that how transition from black string to the black hole situation can occur, and this problem appears to be very non-trivial and unsolved. So first of all, it was demonstrated by Harry Korovitz and Maeda that in this transition it requires change of topology of horizon, and it cannot be done in the finite amount of time. So recently it was simulation of this problem by Matt Lewis and collaborators, and they succeed to show that something like a black hole is formed, but this black hole is connected with some smaller size black string, but unfortunately a code does not work further and it's not known what happens later. So in this kind of situation, it's interesting to consider this problem from other side. Instead of considering instability of black string, we may ask what happens when black hole, after some accretion, adiabatic accretion of small mass, when it's increased large enough, what happens with this black hole, what kind of phase transition may happen in this situation. Unfortunately, this problem is also very non-trivial, and there is no exact solution known for this black hole in complexified space-time. There is only one exception. It's a solution found by Gary Gorovitz, Robert Myers, and M. Farran. It's a situation when the space-time has total number of dimensions 4. There is a two-dimensional brain, and outside there is anti-de Sitter geometry. It's a Rendell-Sandrum-type situation. What we are trying to do in this work, we just try to study and find out what happens in the similar toy model, but instead of scenario Rendell-Sandrum, to use ADD space time consideration. So suppose you have a black hole and you may try to make one of dimension to be compact. What you can expect? Because of the self-interaction, you can expect that north pole of the black hole and south pole of the black hole attract one another. And black hole is stretched in this direction. So it will be some kind of cucumber type object. So in this case, first you would expect that you lose your spherical symmetry original of solution, and your remain symmetry will be axial symmetry. So you are dealing with a situation when space-time is axially symmetric and static. In this case, when we consider four-dimensional space-time, general solution corresponding to this kind of situation with symmetry is known as the Weyl matrix, and this metric can be written in the following form. So if you substitute this metric in Einstein equation, you obtain set of two different kind of equations. One is a linear equation for potential, gravitational potential. Basically, it's a three-dimensional Laplace equation with the additional condition of axial symmetry. Second pair of the equations allow you to restore a function v. And this equation plays a role of integrability condition for this set. So you can start with some point and integrate along any line to obtain v. The function v must vanish at the axis of symmetry if you don't want to have cone-like singularity. So this is a boundary condition and the axis of symmetry. So it's very simple to obtain the solution for Schwarzschild space-time, and the easiest way is just, instead of solving this equation, you can make simple coordinate transformations. In this case, horizon corresponds to 2m in coordinate r, and it corresponds to rho equal to 0, and it's piece of the z-axis lying between minus m and m, where m is the mass of the black hole. So the solution, Schwarzschild solution rewritten in these coordinates look like as follows. And formulate solution corresponding to the presence of infinite thin road along that axis, which has size 2m. So formally, in order to obtain the solution, you need to solve this three-dimensional Laplace equation with the source. Now, if you would like to obtain solutions, generalize this, first of all, a couple of pictures showing the structure of the solution. So this is a form of the potential u in these coordinates, and this is a function v in these coordinates. So if you look at the equipotential lines, they just will be closed surfaces, topologically two-dimensional spheres. So if you increase parameter mu, so this corresponds to parameter mu taken 0.5. Now, what happens in the case when you distort a black hole? This solution was obtained by Gerak and Hartley in 81. So a distorted black hole is described by a static axisymmetric Weyl metric with a regular Killing horizon. So this solution can be obtained in the following form. Consider two functions, u and v, and represent this function in terms of sum, where u, s, and v, s are Schwarzschild solutions. So it will be some kind of corrections to them. Now, function v and function v, s vanish along the axis. It means that this function possesses the same property. The function u and function u, s obey both Laplace equation. So this function obey also Laplace equation. So we consider a situation when both of the functions u hat and v hat are finite. So if you obtain corresponding solution for the correction us, you can reconstruct vz, and this is one of the equations which can be used for this purpose. Near horizon, where rho is equal to zero, this function is regular, and function us is singular, so it has 1 over rho singularity for the gradient. So using this information, you can relate v and u along axis of symmetry rho. So integrating this relation between minus mu and mu, and using the information that on the axis of symmetry there is no cone-like singularity, you can prove that function u hat has the same value at both ends of the line segment x. Integrating this same equation along the path of segment of the horizon, you can find out explicit relation between this function v and u. So Gerich and Hartle demonstrated that if u is a regular smooth solution in any small open neighborhood of horizon, which takes the same value u at both ends of the segment, in this case, solution is regular at the horizon and it describes a distorted black hole. So it means that horizon is a regular surface here. So for distorted black hole, you can make also transition to Schwarzschild-like coordinates. And after this transition to Schwarzschild-like coordinates, you can write metric for distorted black hole in the following form. So the event horizon is located, is defined by equation rho is r is equal to 2 mu 0. It's two-dimensional surface, and its geometry is given by this function. So in order to find out the form, size and other properties of the event horizon of distorted black hole, you need to find out this regular solution u bar corresponding to the deformation. So, horizon surface area is given by this relation. By the way, I introduced some scale parameter L. At the moment, it's arbitrary scale parameter. Later, I fixed it to be parameter of quantification. And surface gravity is given by this relation.
Let me ask you something. Is this vacuum everywhere?
It's vacuum everywhere, yes.
It's not asymptotically flat.
No, it's, so it's, if it's considered, it's not asymptotically flat or there is some distribution of mass.
Right.
So it's not.
So if you are vacuum, it's vacuum in some region, but you need to put matter in order to make it asymptotically.
But solutions we'll be speaking later, just in the moment, it's this one. They are vacuum solution, but I changed topology. Now, we would like to study special situation of black hole in compact space-time. So in this case, it's basically what you are doing, you impose periodicity boundary conditions along one of the coordinates z coordinate. So this kind of solutions is a particular case of general solution obtained by Israel and Kahn very long time ago. You can put arbitrary rods along z-axis, and in this case, you obtain system of black holes in equilibrium. In general case, you need to have some kind of cone-like singularities to make to support them to be in static case. Special situation when you have equal size mass roads along this and they are distributed uniformly. In this case, angle cone-like singularity disappear and you have solution without any singularities at all. So we write this potential rotation potential using Fourier decomposition. It's possible to write the term source for compactified black hole in the following way. This is a theta function vanishing, non-vanishing only at the position of the rod from minus mu to plus mu. So this gives you Fourier coefficients for decomposition. So you need only to solve a radial mode equation for these functions, and they are of the following type. For k equals 0, you have ambiguity to put extra constant, so we fix this constant by just omitting it. So for any other k, you have well-defined solutions, provided you have decreasing at infinity functions, and this is just Bessel function. So formal solution representing compactified black hole can be presented in this form.
So what do you compactify?
Z direction.
And you compactify it so that the length of the rod is.
So I've been introduced now a parameter L size in this or coordinate size in this direction, Z direction.
But is that related to the length of the rod?
It's
there's a length of the rod, right? The background short.
No. So we have two parameters. This is the one length. So we have, and here there is a, this is the Z direction. So this is the rod, and this is the mu parameter. Other parameter, in my case, dimensions, it just will be taken to be 2 pi. And corresponding L is the scale of this dimensional size. So for this reason, the only one dimensional parameter is mu divided by pi. So it's plus mu minus mu. And this will be only one parameter of our problem. It's a ratio between the mass of the gravitational radius of the black hole in some sense and size of the compact dimension. So it's possible to obtain pictures for this potential and function V. So what happens in this case? So let's take some parameter mu. This is a gravitational potential. You can see that near the black hole, near this road, you have two-dimensional compact surfaces which has topology S2. But if you go further, you have more and more straight lines. So it shows that potential becomes less and less dependent on Z. So it means, it exactly means that your problem becomes two-dimensional one. One dimension, if the size, distance from the black hole is larger than the size of quantification, in this case, practically you have homogeneous field. And for this reason, it will be a two-dimensional gravitational field at far distances. So basically the same happens when you take larger value of mu, but distortion of space-time is more profound. But at far distance, again, you have the same kind of behavior, general property of these solutions, that at far distance you have two-dimensional gravity.
Can you talk about any kind of horizon? I mean, any kind of, asymptotic structure in the two?
Yes, I will say in a minute what kind of asymptotic structure here is. There is a, so far away asymptotics. So in this case, since functions k all decay at large distances, what remains is just logarithm of rho. So if you can restore at the far distances function v, and you can demonstrate that at far distances your metric asymptotically is a Kasner-like metric. So you have extra symmetry, it doesn't depend on z. And this is an analog of Kasner cosmological metric, but with the time changed by rho. So in the limiting case when mu goes to pi, you basically will have Rindler space-time. So it's space-time without any curvature at all. So you can also introduce Kamar mass and calculate for this Killing vector, and you obtain it equal to b mu. And in this case, you can also obtain the physical meaning of this parameter mu. You can take a section rho phi of this metric, and beta is just mu over pi. You can make it look like a flat metric, but you will have cone-like singularity, and it's large, not singularity, but at large distance, you have two mu to be angle deficit. So basically, you have two-dimensional metric with the angle deficit, and the measure of this angle deficit is connected with the mass of your black hole. So the only property of two-dimensional gravity is that it's just angle deficit at large distances. So now about situation with the horizon. So all the properties of the horizon are encoded in the function u hat, which is the difference between exact solution for this problem and Schwarzschild one. So using asymptotics of Bessel K function near the horizon, all of them have asymptotic of logarithm rho. So after extraction of these asymptotics, you have sum which can be obtained explicitly, taken explicitly. And this is the explicit answer for this function u hat, which describe you all the properties of your distorted black hole. And there is some kind of, there is a couple of miracles in this problem. So the first miracle is the following. So this function is the following. It's x sine x gamma function of x. It's quite complicated function. You can look at this function in three different points. At zero, it is one, and pi over two, it's 1/2. And at pi is just zero. So using these three points, you can construct a line. So, and it happens that this line approximates this function at this interval with a very high accuracy. So difference between this function and 1 minus x over pi is of order or less than 1%. So for this reason, if you would like to have analytical presentation of your horizon properties, you can use this very simple formula and obtain everything up to the accuracy of 1%. So this is some kind of nice things to play with. But in any case, it's S2, it remains S2.
We did some identification.
Yes, but a horizon is represented by a road. So it's basically this part of the horizon. After returning back to the coordinate, you will have a picture, the same cube, and you have slightly distorted horizon. So topology S2, but geometry is not S2, but a deformation of S2. And we are looking what kind of deformation. So we have this function which allow us to find out the
Rindler case is the one that has Kumar mass.
Sorry?
Sorry? The Rindler case is the one that has Kumar mass pi, so that's surprising.
I will explain this transition to the Rindler case is not so trivial, and I try to explain what we know about this at the moment. So this is a this kind of things and explanation with the angle deficit and this kind of calculations for small mu, and this is a coincidence between Komar mass and in the small mu limit only. Okay, so redshift factor is the value of u hat at the end points can be written in this simple form, or using this kind of simplified approximation, you can study this, and this is the curve for this factor. So let's go to the properties of the horizon. So the internal size of the horizon is connected with the irreducible mass. So square of reducible mass gives you surface area of the horizon. So surface area depends on our parameter mu in the following way. So when you take mu going to pi limit, the surface area grows to infinity. So this is very non-trivial limit. So irreducible mass. Surface gravity in the same limit goes to zero. In the same limit, if you consider the distance between north pole and south pole of the black hole, it can be written in explicit form. But what is interesting is that in the limit when take you mu equal to pi, this distance does not vanish. So in coordinate sense, they come one close to another, but in the invariant sense, the distance between north pole and south pole remains finite. And it's directly connected with the property that surface gravity goes to zero. Now about the form of the horizon. So geometry of the horizon has a simple form, and if you take approximation, this function f which enter has the following simple value. You can calculate Gaussian curvature at the horizon. So Gaussian curvature will be very small. It's large. It's practically from equatorial plane up to the endpoints, and all the Gaussian curvature is located at the endpoints of your surface. So integral of Gaussian curvature must be equal to 4 pi. So for this reason, integral must be the main contribution to this integral comes from the north and south pole. So you can consider embedding diagram for this black hole. So you can introduce a three-dimensional Euclidean space and embed this horizon as a surface of rotation. So consider these lines. They're representing the form of the horizon in situation when you come from smaller size, from small value of mu to value of mu which is close to pi. So you can see that in the limit when you go to pi, your horizon is practically a cylinder with two endpoints where single curvature is located. And there is another miracle which happens in this problem. So
what is the first miracle, sir?
Sorry?
This is another miracle. What is the first one?
The first one was that the function representing all the shape, and so just is given extremely simple function that just so it's work with a very high accuracy. So the second miracle is the following. So let's consider completely independent problem. It's a rotating black Kerr rotating black hole. So you know that surface area of Kerr rotating black hole is just oblate surface of rotation. Now change t to minus t to it, parameter of rotation to ib. So in this case, you can find out another surface with just this one. So it happens that this surface is isomorphic to this surface of rotation when we use approximative expression. So basically, there is some kind of unexpected coincidence of two different things. Now,
what is the curve bound linear?
Sorry.
There we want that we can only take a to be less than or equal to m. Right?
In the case of Lorentzian signature, yes. But when you take to Euclidean case, you can take arbitrary b. So it's okay, so what is the picture? So in some sense, when you take parameter mu larger and larger and going closer and closer to the pi, you have deformed black hole, which is just practically finished with some endpoints. The size of this black hole and growth. So the size of lines of that equal constant surfaces also grows. So in order to consider limit when these lines remains finite, you need to renormalize them. And finally, you come to the picture of Rindler space-time of the which has two unifications along phi axis and along z axis. So this is some kind of irregular limit of this solution. So I think that I need to finish. So one more point to discuss is the following. So we consider parameter L size of quantification as a given one. In the physical setup, you need some kind of field or scalar field to make it stable, the size of dimension. But you may consider now this L as a free parameter and ask the following question. So let's restore dimensionality. And we have mass, reducible mass connected with the size of the black hole. We have physical mass as measured at infinity by the angle deficit, and we have parameter L, and this is the relation between them. Now we may ask what happens if parameter L can be arbitrary. So what happens with the mass of the black hole for the fixed area when we change parameter L? And it happens that it's also non-trivial two different regimes. So this is a give you mass ratio to M0. M0 constant means that we have entropy of the system constant. And we may play with the parameter L to make it larger or smaller. And there is a maximum of this function. So if you go in this way, L goes to infinity, and you come to a solution which presents black hole in the space-time without where radius quantification is making arbitrary large. So in the other limit, when energy vanishes, so you can see that it happens only in special case when mu m divided by pi L is going to be in the limit 1 and mass goes to 0. It corresponds to exactly this kind of empty Rindler space-time of finite size quantification in phi and z direction. So for this reason, if L is arbitrary parameter and it can be dynamical, in some sense, either you have flat space-time without black hole at all, or you have black hole in the space-time with the infinite dimension. So for this reason, there is a problem of this kind of whether the solutions are stable or not. So unfortunately, this is a four-dimensional solution. It's non-trivial to generalize it how dimensional the case for the reason that you cannot use anymore this kind of nice situation with a while space-time when one of the equations becomes linear. And you need to deal with nonlinear equation. On the other hand, it's some kind of interesting toy model demonstrating what may happen in the low dimension case, and it's quite trivial. So you may ask different questions and try to find out what may happen in the situation. So I think that I done well in time.
Any questions?
This should look at the star model anyway. I mean, so there are generalizations of Garrosh-Hartle solutions to include charge.
Yes, I know this paper, and yes, and the first thing we try to do just to play this game and just use this generator to transform its charged case. Unfortunately, it doesn't work for the reason that when we make this formal transformation, the electric potential becomes infinite at some finite distance for some unknown reason, and formally it doesn't work. So I don't know the reason, but we try to play this immediately.
Can you look at, there was a paper last year by Tiran and Inkhot where they solved the elliptic equations to see by having an appropriate source to see if they could have a point horizon that would touch it, the answer now. Are you trying to do something like that?
But they considered high dimensional case, yes.
Yeah.
So for this reason, there may be a delicacy connected with a four dimensional case important. So it will be interesting to compare, but I don't know how to do it.
But they find is also that they cannot make the ends meet.
Yeah, maybe it's generic property. So in some sense, what is interesting here is that limiting case is characterized by the property that surface gravity vanishes. So it means that the invariant distance to the horizon goes to infinity. So for this reason, even if in coordinate sense the endpoints touch one another, the distance may remain finite. So this is a non-trivial limit in this case. So.
No,
they use high dimensional.
But the numerics there were kind of funny. understand why. So this kind of guy from the outside is going to show them more or less in the favor, but in the lower dimension.
But I'm not thinking about that at all, but could you not use some additional symmetries in the five-dimensional case? Why would it be just two kilograms?
Yeah, the thing is that what was done by Enfaran, I suppose he was alone, or maybe there's somebody else. But you can consider. So what is the difference with the Weyl problem? In Weyl problem, you have spheres too, and its deformation gives you one-dimensional line. It's connected with the abelian group. Now, if you consider this kind of deformation in high-dimensional space, instead of you have a real sphere, and corresponding term to the equation will be due to non-linear. So what people have done is the following. So you can consider deformation of three-dimensional spheres or high-dimensional spheres in the other way, so preserving two Keeling directions. In this case, Weyl ansatz does work. And they write equation and study different kind, but it's corresponding to some kind of additional black string situation, not deforms of the black hole, because you can make computation along Keeling direction, and it's not so interesting. Yes, so there is a generalization and wonderful generalization which works in the high dimensional case, but they introduce potential U for each of the Keeling direction. And these equations appear to be linear. And everything is reduced to the low dimensional problem as here. But it's not corresponds to the computation of the black hole.
Any questions?